Picture a rabbi in 1950, broken by the death of his 11-year-old son. He writes to the only person he believes might understand the magnitude of his loss, Albert Einstein. What comes back isn't a scientific treatise or cold comfort, but a profound insight that would echo through decades. A human being is part of the whole, called by us universe. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This exchange between Rabbi Robert Marcus, who saved hundreds of children from Buchenwald, and Einstein becomes the gateway to understanding what we've lost in modern life, connection to our souls. Not the soul as some abstract religious concept, but as the truest version of ourselves, the me within me that knows our purpose and sees beyond the narrow confines of ego. When we feel empty despite our achievements, when success tastes hollow, when we sense we're living someone else's life, these aren't signs of failure, but soul sickness, the distance between who we are and who we're meant to be. From childhood, many of us sense something deeper calling, but life teaches us to ignore that voice. We chase what the world values, status, wealth, approval, while an inner compass spins uselessly, unable to guide us because we've stopped checking it. Think of it like having a brilliant advisor who never stops offering wisdom, but we've put them on permanent mute. The soul operates through what mystics call expansive mind, contrasting sharply with our default narrow mind. Narrow mind keeps us petty, jealous, trapped in reactive patterns. It sees the world as disconnected fragments where we must fight for our peace. Expansive mind, our soul's natural state, perceives unity, compassion, and possibility. It's the difference between road rage and recognizing that the driver who cut you off might be rushing to the hospital. Same situation, radically different perspectives. Most questions we wrestle with are actually soul questions disguised as practical problems. Should I change careers? Why do my relationships feel empty? What's the point of all this? These aren't logistical puzzles, but spiritual longings. The soul has three layers, like a candle flame's distinct colors. The blue base is nefesh, the life force, your basic will to live and act. Above burns ruach, the love force, where emotional wisdom lives and you discover your calling. This is the courage to love despite wounds, the wisdom to recognize what genuinely matters versus what ego demands. When someone asks, "What should I do with my life?" they're really asking how to activate their ruach, how to move from survival to meaningful connection. At the top is neshama, the eternal force, the heat above the flame you can't see but can feel, letting you experience unity with all things. While bodies decay, souls can grow stronger, but they must be earned layer by layer, nourished deliberately. Our souls are starving, and we're trying to feed them with things that can't nourish them. Ecclesiastes warned that the soul is not filled by our labors, yet we keep offering it promotions and possessions. It's like quenching thirst with salt water. The more you consume, the more desperate you become. Meditation isn't trendy self-care, but essential medicine. When you sit in stillness, beneath the mind's chatter sits something steady and anchored. That's your soul. Music bypasses the mind entirely, reaching straight for the heart, uniting strangers into one soul. Nature works similarly. Standing before an ancient sequoia, you might momentarily disappear, becoming just a being flowing into everything. The Sabbath offers forgotten permission to stop producing, to dream again, to remember there's more to life than efficiency. Feed your soul, and it feeds you back. The first shift happens in vision. You start seeing differently. A traffic ticket becomes a lesson. We California roll through life, never fully present, always rushing to what's next. The soul needs us to break, feel the pull backward. In that pause, revelation emerges. One couple arrived a week before their wedding, barely speaking, fighting over red Converse and tablecloth colors. But asking how they first met, him approaching with food stuck in his teeth, her laughing instead of fleeing, shifted them from pettiness to gratitude. 15 years and 3 children later, they're still together. Same people, different vision. The Psalms describe this. I called to God from my narrowness, and God answered me with a vast expanse. Between painful events and our responses lies space where the soul dwells, offering options ego can't see. Like Hagar in the desert, who suddenly saw a well that was there all along, soul vision reveals possibilities previously invisible. This isn't positive thinking, but expanded perception, learning to see the whole tapestry instead of one tangled thread. The soul keeps calling, patiently waiting for you to turn down the noise. Understanding changes nothing without action. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel captured this after marching in Selma. Our legs uttered songs. Even without words, our march was worship. I felt my legs were praying. The soul dreams, but the body must fulfill those dreams. We exist between two states, the desperate save our ship crisis that forces change, and the comfortable same old stuff that keeps us mediocre. Consider the photographer with a tremor who captured thousands of breathtaking images over 40 years, but never printed a single one. His fear stemmed from childhood trauma. His father's death taught him that what you love can be taken away. What keeps us pregnant forever with unrealized potential? Fear of judgment, inner criticism, responsibility, or simple inertia? But the soul descended to this realm to know fulfillment, not just possibility. Your unexpressed gifts die with you. The gap between who you are and who you're meant to be isn't a sign of failure, it's an invitation. Life wounds us, and we make protective vows. I'll never trust again, I'll never be vulnerable. These vows shield us from pain, but also block love and joy. Our hearts turn to stone, and we call it wisdom, but it's actually imprisonment. After accidentally hitting an elderly man with her car, Rachel lived in anguish for 3.5 years. When his family finally agreed to meet, she expected anger, but received compassion and forgiveness. Their grace cracked open her heart of stone. Finding your calling requires examining both strengths and weaknesses. Dr. Alan Rabinowitz stuttered so severely as a child that he was placed in retarded classes and stopped talking entirely, yet he could speak fluently to animals. That lonely, stuttering child became a giant in wildlife conservation, establishing the world's first jaguar preserve and creating a corridor from Mexico to Argentina. His inability to speak taught him to read people through silence. You don't need words to get to the soul of another person, he explained. Your shortcomings aren't obstacles to overcome, but clues to follow. The very thing you've spent your life hiding might be exactly what the world needs from you. Two hospital guards, one patient. The first barked orders like a warden. The second said, "My name is Michael, and the good Lord has sent me to be your guardian angel." Same job, radically different approaches, one operating from ego, the other from love and calling. 20 years later, that suicidal 12-year-old is thriving with a family of her own. The tale of two guards reveals a fundamental truth. You choose how to approach any work, from narrow mind or expansive mind, from ego or soul. When a murdered father's heart was donated, the recipient went from barely walking to skiing within 6 months. When the daughter got engaged, facing the heartbreak that her father couldn't walk her down the aisle, she invited the man carrying her father's heart. Meeting for the first time, he placed her hand on his pulse so she could feel her father's heart beating. This is what Einstein meant. Separation is an optical delusion. In the realm of soul, we remain eternally connected to everything we love. Death doesn't sever those bonds. It only changes their form. Your soul has been calling since birth, speaking through nameless longings, dissatisfaction with empty success, glimpses of something larger. That's your soul reminding you, you're part of the whole, with work only you can do. The world needs your soul fully awake. Stop California rolling through life. Break. Count to three. Feel the pull backward. In that pause, your soul waits to show you who you've always been meant to become. The soul can't force you to listen. It can only keep calling. While bodies decay, souls grow stronger through meditation, music, nature, rest, and sacred pauses. You can't skip to enlightenment. You build from life force through love force to eternal force, each stage preparing you for the next. The journey isn't about becoming someone new, but remembering who you've always been. Your soul knows the way home. Wake up. Your soul is calling. The world is waiting.